So good afternoon. This is the session on Windows 10 management. My name's Mike Niehaus. I'm a senior product marketing manager on the Windows team. And for the next 75 minutes, we want to talk about really the whole story around Windows 10 management, which is really going to focus more on adding more choices and providing more capabilities. We've made statements like this for quite a few years, and we've actually gotten to the point where if we make a statement like that, saying that Windows offers the management features that businesses need, people would shake their heads and say, yeah, we agree that it provides everything that you need. But we've been at it for, 15, 20 years building this functionality, and over the past few years, what we're seeing is that business needs are evolving, and as a result of those evolutions, we now need to make some adjustments to Windows in order to provide some more flexibility. So that's what we're really trying to do in Windows 10. We're trying to identify what the evolving enterprise requirements are as we've moved from kind of the traditional PCs connected to a local area network where you're chained to a desk for 8 hours a day and you just wanted to have a very well-controlled device to a much more mobile-first, device-first view of the world where you have machines that are often connected to the internet that are being used 24/7 for a mixture of personal and business uses. Really just coming up with these new use cases for devices that require some additional flexibility around management as well. So that's where we're starting out from, this core set of Windows management functionality that we built into the OS. Things like Windows Management Instrumentation, WMI, Remote Management, Windows Update, Group Policy, all of those have been around for quite a while. PowerShell, it's a more recent addition, basically to provide more scripting capabilities around the OS. AppLocker is just a way to restrict the way the executables that can actually run on the device. All of those are still there. We continue to invest in those. We continue to add additional capabilities. One of the new items that we added in Windows 8.1 was mobile device management support by adding an inbox MDM agent. That's going to be an area that we focus on in Windows 10 to add additional capabilities to that MDM agent. Initially, that MDM agent was primarily focused on BYOD scenarios for lightweight management. We really want to be able to branch out more from there to be able to provide more control for corporate-owned devices as well. On top of that Windows client functionality, we tie in server functionality as well with Active Directory, Group Policy on the server side, and WSUS for patching. Layered on top of that, we have additional products like Configuration Manager and MDOP to provide even more management functionality. Up until a couple of years ago, that was kind of the whole picture, that we didn't have anything beyond that. But now with the addition of the cloud and the services running in the cloud, we had to concern ourselves with additional scenarios. That's where we add in Azure Active Directory for a cloud-based identity solution, Azure RMS for rights management and access to secure data, Microsoft Intune for mobile device management, Office 365, which is all based on these same cloud services components. So really positioning ourselves so that we can be in this whole world using a Windows 10 client. That basically means we now have choices where before there really wasn't any major choices to be made. Now we need to choose between Active Directory and Azure Active Directory. We can choose between Group Policy and Config Manager or the equivalent third-party PC management tool. Or we can choose a mobile device management service like Intune or any of the other third-party MDMs like AirWatch or MobileIron or Citrix. We can throw the Windows Store into the mix, so providing a mechanism for organizations to acquire apps from the Microsoft-run Windows Store. With the Windows 8.1 implementation of that, we really didn't provide any enterprise controls at all, but with Windows 10, we expect to provide lots more functionality. so that you can create your own curated organization store, or if you want your own completely managed organization store using System Center, using Intune, or using another MDM service. Of course, when you're looking at some of these components, some of them run on premises, some of them run in the cloud. It becomes a much more heterogeneous setup. From an ownership perspective, some scenarios work best for BYOD, some scenarios work best for standard corporate-owned scenarios, but we're also seeing growth in choose-your-own-device scenarios where an organization allows the person to buy a machine, provides them the money to do that, but then they want to turn it into a traditional corporate-owned device. So what can we do to support those types of scenarios as well? We don't expect any organization to be 100% with any of those choices. We would expect you to mix and match based on the scenario. So you may have 90% of your machines in a particular configuration and 10% in another. Or really just looking at it from the perspective of the use cases for those devices. You're probably going to treat consultants in the field or salespeople differently than you would treat call center employees or something like that. They just have drastically different use cases and as a result need drastically different management solutions. So that's the types of choices that we want to provide. We want to provide these so that you can use them for the appropriate scenarios in your organization. When we talk about identity, Active Directory has been around for quite a while. It provides the key business identity and security capabilities for almost all organizations today. We really need to then take this to the cloud. That's where Azure Active Directory comes in. This isn't an either-or conversation either. It can be. You could say, well, I'm going to run completely from the cloud using Azure Active Directory, or I'm going to run completely on-premises using Active Directory. But what we expect most organizations to do is use them together, setting up synchronization between the two, which was demonstrated in the keynote session at the beginning of the week. Windows 10 will fully be able to leverage both of these for a variety of things, including logging onto the system. So you can take a machine, join it into Azure Active Directory, and log in directly with an AAD account. So you don't even need to have domain controllers accessible to the device. You log into the AAD account from the cloud. For organizations that are just starting up, they may choose to run completely from the cloud and not have any on-premises Active Directory services. But for the traditional organizations that already have a significant investment in AD, leveraging that hybrid setup is going to be a key capability. So that gets us into these scenarios, really differentiating between organizationally owned devices and personally owned devices. If it's a personally owned device, the computer is going to register. It's going to make itself known to the organization through workplace join so that it can become a trusted device. But it's going to only be lightly managed using Intune or an MDM service. The user is going to sign into that device with their own personal account. That personal account would be a Microsoft account or a local account on that device. They can associate a work account to their personal account. So they could associate an AAD account to that MSA so that they could then access work services using single sign-on approaches. Like maybe they're using their personal account, but then accessing email from Office 365. By associating their AAD account to their Microsoft account, they can transparently log into that Office 365 service to access their email. In the case of the organizationally owned devices, you have both choices between on-prem, joining into Active Directory, logging in with an AD account, and then managing the systems with Group Policy and System Center, or going the Azure AD route, joining the computer into AAD, signing in with an AAD account, and then managing the device with Intune or MDM. That's the basic differentiation between the two. If it's joined to AD, you can use Group Policy and System Center. If it's joined into Azure AD, it's most likely going to be mobile device management based, so using an MDM service. But now if we tie the two together and synchronize the two, we get additional benefits. The benefits are primarily single sign-on. So we can, from an AD-based machine, access cloud-based services, or from a cloud-based machine, access on-premises services. Either way is possible, leveraging the synchronized accounts between the two setups. So we would expect that most organizations would set up this type of synchronization, going from their on-premises Active Directory environment into the Azure AD cloud, and then leveraging those identities to access Office 365 and Windows Intune. We've already talked about that a little bit. What we're going to add into this is also the Windows Store using an organizational identity, which is based on Azure Active Directory, to acquire apps for organization use. That's something we couldn't do before. We had to access the store using a Microsoft account, acquire apps using a Microsoft account. Those apps then belong to the user, not to the organization. But if we use an organizational identity with AAD, we can change that to make these organizationally owned. So we would create these Azure Active Directory tenants in the cloud. We would synchronize AD into AAD. We can do password synchronization as well to keep the passwords in sync between the two, or we can set up ADFS, where ADFS basically takes all of the cloud-based sign-on requests and redirects them to your own server to validate the password before turning control back over to the cloud for authentication. So if you want to store your password synchronized into the cloud, you can do that. It will pass the hashes for the passwords to Azure Active Directory, or you can say, no, I don't want to do that. I'm going to set up ADFS, and I'm going to allow it to authenticate the machines. Your PCs and devices are going to talk to one or the other, potentially both, to enable single sign-on to all these different services. One of the things that Dennis had talked about in the foundation session as well is if you sign into a device that's associated with an AAD account, or if you sign into a device using an AAD account, either way, it will roam the data and settings for these applications into Azure as well. So if you think about that today with Windows 8.1 and you log in with a Microsoft account, the configuration for the apps roams to each machine. The list of applications that you've installed roams to each machine. If you sign in with an Active Directory account today, none of that happens. So what we're doing is enabling that scenario for AD and AAD accounts, synchronizing that into Azure. The nice thing about doing that is we can provide controls around that for the organizations to say, we only want the AAD data to roam into an appropriate regional data center. So if it's a US-based company, only roam the data into a US-based Azure data center, and to give the organization control over that data. Maybe the person leaves the organization, the org could say, I want to remove that data that's been synced to the cloud. So really providing more controls over that roaming of settings and data between these devices. So let's take a look for a moment at Azure Active Directory, just to give you a little bit more familiarity with the setup. So we have a domain controller here, which I will log into in a second. Where'd it go? That looks better. So we have an Active Directory domain controller, which I've created for my family. Not a very good example, but hey, something I can play with. And I've created accounts in this Active Directory, which I could use on a local network. But if I wanted to set that up with AAD, I just need to have an Azure Active Directory tenant created in the cloud. So the steps to do that, basically I would create an Azure account, and inside of that Azure account, create a tenant, an AD tenant to say, here's where I'm going to synchronize to. Right now, I've got two accounts in that, basically my Azure subscription account, my Microsoft account, the kneehouse@live.com, and then I created an AAD-based account and set it up as the administrator account. So I've just got those simple accounts at this point. The next step would be to set up synchronization, which is the exact same process that we had walked through before in the keynote of running the AAD sync tool and just telling it, here's what I want to connect together. I can specify the AAD account that has access to the online directory, and I can specify the AD account that has access to the local directory, and basically specify what I want to synchronize back and forth. So first, I need to put in my AAD account. It says, I'm not a member of the AD Sync Admin Security Group. Please log out and log back in and run this again. You gotta love when that happens. I ran through this partially before, and that modified the state of the system. So let me log back in again. And let's try that one more time. Okay, so I can put in my AAD admin at my AAD account, kneehouseonline.onmicrosoft.com, microsoft.com, with the password. It can verify that to make sure that truly is a global administrator. Next step is to specify the local details, so it needs to know my forest. And the administrator locally. You can tell it how to match accounts between on-prem and the cloud, so we can take the default there. And then what we want to synchronize. So in this case, I can go ahead and do password synchronization as well. And at that point, I can configure the connection between the two. That'll set up a service on my domain controller. It will periodically check for changes in AD. It'll synchronize those to the cloud, and pretty soon I will have all of my local accounts duplicated in AAD and ready to use for any AAD-based services. So that's the basic setup that you would need to go through for your organization, is to set up this type of a connection between the two so that we can replicate the two back and forth. So the next step, synchronize now. We click on finish. That will initiate that process. If we check on that back on the web page, hopefully it will synchronize fairly quickly. Probably by the time I manage to get the page back up again, we should have some accounts. So if we go to manage.windowsazure.com, we can log back in. And be able to see my tenants again. So Active Directory. Let's look at that account. and the users, and they're already there. So that's as quick as the synchronization goes. Obviously, if you have more than four users in your Active Directory, it's going to take a little bit more, but it's pretty easy to set up and get that synchronization running to get those accounts out there. Now, using those accounts, using the AAD account, I could log on to any of the cloud services that are associated with that. So that's the basic setup. Once you have that in place, there are two key places where you can make use of that with Windows 10. One is to join a computer to AAD directly, so doing a join to AAD instead of to AD, and logging in then with an AAD account. And the second would be with the Windows Store, which we'll get into a little bit deeper as we go into the presentation. But both of those will be fully AAD enabled. So if I bring up a Windows 10 client that's already been joined into an AAD tenant, I can then log in as soon as the screen refreshes.
While you're waiting, can I ask?
Sure.
When you did the PTI for us about Windows a few weeks ago,
right?
And you said that you could join an AAD, and I asked you at the time, Office 365 accounts or AAD accounts.
Yes.
Do you think we'll ever be, because that really is the case. You think about the small organizations, the virtual organizations, you know, the 10 people, right? We
right.
have Office 365 accounts. We don't have AAD. Wouldn't this be more helpful to us, or am I missing something? I'm probably missing something.
No, so the basic comment was, well, you could have a small organization using Office 365, and how is that kind of tied together? And effectively, if you're using Intune, if you're using Office 365 with a business subscription, you're already using AAD, and you already have an AAD tenant created for your accounts. So you really don't have to do anything else in that case. You're already set to go. For the management console that I was looking at through the Windows Azure console, you do have to associate the AD tenant created with Office 365 to an Azure subscription so that you can manage it in that way. Otherwise, you'd have to go through Office 365 and do your administration that way. But they're all using the same service at their core. Now, there are some non-AAD-based Office 365 subscriptions, the personal ones. The personal ones are using Microsoft accounts. Those are a little different. Those are still the consumer identity rather than the organizational identity. But certainly, if you've already gone through the work of setting up Office 365 for a business, you're set. You're done. You're ready to go.
But you can't really join a machine to an Office 365.
You will be able to. So you can't today, but you will be able to enable that. There is, if I went through the steps of adding an Office 365 Azure tenant into an AAD, or sorry, into an Azure subscription, I could then go into the settings for that Azure AAD tenant and say, I want to allow device registration. As soon as I do that, then it would be enabled. So I've got my Windows 10 client here. I've logged into this one before. It's already joined into AAD. So I can put in my password. And I'm going to be logging in with an AAD account. I mean, it's just as exciting as logging in with an AD account, which is not exciting at all. It's something you do all the time. So nothing special about this. In the prefixing that you saw in the account where it had Azure AD / and then the email address is a temporary thing. We're still working on the development of that behind the scenes. But just to prove that this is actually logged in with AAD, we can bring up a command prompt. And I'm sure some of you have done this before where you bring up a command prompt and look at the environment variables to see which domain controller logged me in. As soon as this command prompt actually gets painted back on the screen, we can look at the environment variables and see what is an AAD domain controller. So if I type in set and look for the logon server here, it says logon server equals / Azure AD. So Windows knows that I've logged in with an Azure AD account. Nothing special about it otherwise. It's just a standard login at that point. So you get the same services with an Azure AD account as you would with an AD account. Okay, so that's kind of the introduction. And as we get deeper into the development cycle and start to enable these things in the preview builds, then you can expect to try them out yourself. At this point, with the preview builds that are out today, none of this actually works. It's not in there yet. So expect this to be coming over the coming months. And should be fairly easy to do to set this up, especially if you've already got Intune or Office 365 already in place. So, and talking a little bit more about the management choices. We talked about being able to do Active Directory Group Policy System Center. That's kind of the traditional, already in place, established environment. It's key for us to enable that that be possible without upgrading your infrastructure. So I want to be able to drop a Windows 10 system onto your network, connect it into AD, manage it using Group Policy, manage it using System Center, without requiring a new version of server, without requiring a new version of System Center. I want it to just drop in and go. So that's one of the key things that we want to enable. We also want to advance the MDM capabilities. We talked a little bit about that already. We want to make sure that we have a consistent implementation across both the PC and the phone devices. There's some discrepancies between the two today since they were developed by different groups. But since we've reorganized our development efforts to have a single development team working on both products, really across our entire stack of operating systems, we now expect to have a fully consistent set of capabilities. That enables our own first-party solutions like Windows Intune. It also enables the third-party MDM vendors to do this as well. So when we talk about working with existing infrastructure, that means if we've got System Center 2012 R2 already in place, it'll support managing and deploying Windows 10. If we already have System Center 2012 in place, which is still fully supported, it'll support managing and deploying Windows 10. If we're one of the laggards and we've still got Config Manager 2007 out there, it'll support managing Windows 10. It doesn't support deploying Windows 10. That's really not any different than Windows 8 or Windows 8.1. You can't do those today either. If you're running Windows Server 2012 R2, Server 2012, Server 2008 R2, they'll all work fine for Active Directory purposes, for group policy, for all the other management capabilities that you need to manage Windows 10. No upgrades required there. If you're using the Microsoft Deployment Toolkit 2013, it will support Windows 10 deployment. With most of these, there may be a hot fix, there may be a cumulative update, there may be some type of minor update that needs to be applied to enable this, but it's primarily a compatibility update. It's not going to be a new release, it's not going to be a new version that you need to plan for and deploy. The idea is that at the same time we RTM, we should be able to release simple updates for these to enable the necessary management and deployment. There always could be new operating system features, and those new features need new code to be written using System Center, using MDT, using whatever. So there could be some new features added into the OS that you wouldn't necessarily have support for in the older versions of the products. But none of that should be critical to the usage of Windows 10 inside of your organization. When we talk about our management choices, we've kind of built this continuum. We have the very lightweight, the basic controls using Exchange Active Sync, which is useful primarily for BYOD so that you can allow email access and verify that you've got the appropriate security settings in place. We can do BYOD style management using a mobile device management platform, and we've got the fully managed corporate devices. That was the situation with Windows 8.1. With Windows 8.1 on the desktop, we really didn't get into the full control space at all with the MDM agent. With Windows Phone 8.1, we got a little bit further. There are more MDM capabilities on the phone than there are on the desktop, but it's just kind of an artifact of the order that they were developed in. But as we move forward to Windows 10, we want to make sure that we can extend that so that we get consistent capabilities between the phone and the Windows desktop, but at the same time, we get much closer to that full control that you would expect on a corporate-owned device. So moving beyond BYOD-style management and getting you the extra controls that you would expect for a company-owned device. Now, just because the box there looks like it shrunk for Active Directory, Group Policy, and System Center, that doesn't mean that they're any less important or that there's anything going away from those. Those are fully supported and very important to us. It's just that when the MDM support grows, we needed to make space for the bar to grow. So don't read anything into that. It's still very important to us. The capabilities that we're looking to add in MDM really cover the whole range of MDM capabilities, from enrollment to inventory to device configuration and security, application management, remote assistance, and even the wiping of the data off of the device as part of an unenrollment process. So we're working on a variety of different things related to that. Bulk enrollment or automating the enrollment as part of a Azure Active Directory join, we should be able to automatically enroll the device into an MDM agent as part of one smooth operation. So the user only puts in their credentials once and off they go. We'll extend the device inventory. We'll extend the list of actual policies that are supported. We'll provide full support for the new business software portal and curating the Windows Store, a lot of the things that we'll talk about in a minute around the Windows Store. We'll add full device wipe capabilities, including trying to get that working on the desktop environment as well. Removal of all of the secure corporate data as part of the enterprise data protection capabilities that we're adding. If you've been to Chris Hallam's security sessions, he's talking about those capabilities. They're tied into MDM as well to make sure that when a device is unenrolled or wiped remotely, that access to that EDP data would be restricted, would be removed, so that that data could no longer be accessed. That really fits into a vision that the System Center guys have been talking about for probably a couple of years already, where they want to have a single pane of glass for administration so that you can use both of these together. You can do on-premises management of devices using Configuration Manager. You can do cloud-based management of devices using MDM and Intune, but you administer all of it from one point. So if you wanted to deploy an app to both of these types of scenarios, you create it once in the Config Manager console. That makes it available to Config Manager clients. That makes it available to Intune clients as well. So the best of both worlds. And we've been talking with analysts about this for a couple of years as well, and they've pretty much come around to the idea that this is the natural evolution, that we had the traditional desktop environments for quite a while where you kept adding more and more functionality, and eventually they got to a point where they kind of stagnated because, well, there really wasn't much more you could add. That caused a little bit of a vacuum when these cloud scenarios came out. So you had the new vendors coming into the mix to do mobile device management through the cloud. But it's natural for those two to merge back together and to provide a single solution that can support both of those. That's the vision for System Center and Intune working together to fully support those types of devices. That also includes non-Windows devices. The other benefit of a mobile device management scenario is that if you've got something that isn't running Windows, maybe it's iOS or Android, God forbid, you can fully support those using this solution as well. Personally, I like Windows, but then again, I work for Windows, so that would make sense. So let's talk then about the App Store. We had the App Store initially introduced in Windows 8. And it really didn't change that much in Windows 8.1. It had a variety of challenges. You had to use a Microsoft account. There was no bulk purchasing capabilities. You always needed to use a credit card one by one if you wanted to buy an application. There was no real license management. There was no real reporting. There was no way to put apps into your images. There was no way to do lots of different things. So we set out with Windows 10 to try to fix all of those problems. We'll provide a volume purchasing capability. We'll provide lots of options for distributing applications. We'll provide license management. We'll provide ways for you to create your own curated store. Today, we've described the challenges. Most organizations, to get around these challenges today, have kind of turned off the Windows Store so that you can't even get to it, and then implemented their own internal enterprise app store using Config Manager or an MDM solution so that you could then place apps into it and deploy those using sideloading. The challenge with that is, in order to sideload an app, you need to have the installation files for it. If it's an app that's only available through the Windows Store, you can't get the installation files for it, so you're kind of stuck. So we've had a variety of issues like that. You could put links to apps in the Windows Store into your own internal enterprise app store, but then when you click the link, it still goes to the Windows Store. You have to log in with an MSA. You have to click the install button. So we know we have to fix all of that. And that's what we're trying to get to as we converge the Windows stores between the different platforms that we have today. We want to make sure that we can pick up the best functionality from each one and add new capabilities at the same time. The idea is that we can provide more convenient ways to pay, especially for organizations who don't want to give every person in the company a credit card to buy apps with. We can allow lots of curation options to say, maybe I want to turn off the entertainment categories, but I want to allow access to productivity apps. Maybe I want to build my own fully curated list of apps, that only apps that I put on the list are able to be installed by my employees. So that gets us to the picture that we want to implement for Windows 10. We'll still have the Windows Store around for the consumer scenarios where you're still logging in with the Microsoft account and acquiring apps for your own purposes. But what we're adding is this new BSP, typical Microsoft acronym, BSP, Business Software Portal. This is where an organization can go to acquire apps to be distributed to their organization. Those could be free apps, those could be paid apps. If they're paid apps, we'll provide additional ways to pay for those. We'll do credit cards, that's easy enough, but we'll also do invoicing, purchase orders, the standard types of ways for organizations to do bulk purchases of software. Now we end up in this scenario where we start bringing AAD into the mix. You can log into the Windows Store with a Microsoft account. You'll be then working in kind of the personal space. You acquire apps for your own personal use. If you log in with the Azure Active Directory account, you then see the organization's apps, any of the apps that have been published through the Windows Store. We'll provide a way through the public store, using the Business Software Portal, for you to create your own category inside of the public store, so that when you log in with an AAD account, you can see your own business's list. You'll see a category called Contoso, maybe, and you'll have the list of apps that are available to people in your organization. So that basically means that you can implement your own private store without having the infrastructure like System Center or Intune providing the company portal type experience. None of that goes away. You could still do that. You can still build your own enterprise app store and fill it with your own applications. In fact, we'll make that better since you'll be able to go into the Business Software Portal and download the installation files for any of the apps that you've acquired, place those into Config Manager, place those into Intune, and push them out to machines. So that will be good. We can fully control all the BSP functionality using a mobile device management solution, including license management and app distribution and all that good stuff. So you kind of get the choices there as well. Do you want to run the App Store yourself and implement workflows and approvals and all the other things that maybe you get out of System Center? Or do you just want something nice and simple, run in the cloud using the store infrastructure, leveraging what we provide out of the box? Either one of those are an option. With the BSP, you'll also be able to upload your own apps into the cloud and make those available to your organization's employees. You would also be able to do B2B distribution of apps. So maybe you have an arrangement with a particular ISV who's created an app specifically for you. they can distribute that to you through the BSP so that you can then push that out to your employees. And really even putting the apps into images. So we talked about downloading the bits so that you could put them into your own enterprise app store, but imagine downloading them and injecting them into your operating system image so that when that image is deployed, the apps are already there. You don't even have to tell the users to go out to the store or push them down to the device. They'll just already be included in the image. First time the user logs in, it can go out to the internet, it can find a license for that application to make sure that the app is properly licensed and will track who's using what. But you can put this into images, you can sysprep those images, all of those existing restrictions go away. So we end up with a whole bunch of scenarios. That becomes the challenge, that there's almost too many choices. So now you have to figure out, well, how do I want to use this? So we've tried to be as flexible as possible. We can do online installation of apps for internet-connected machines. We can do offline for non-internet-connected machines. We can include apps into images. We can deploy the apps through the store. We can deploy the apps via MDM. We can deploy the apps using System Center. We can deploy line-of-business apps. We can deploy business-to-business apps. We don't care what size organization's using this. It could be anything from a large enterprise on down. We'll converge the capabilities, we'll simplify the side loading processes, we'll enable universal app deployment across different device types. It's just a much better story all the way around. So let's dig into some of these scenarios in a little more depth, just so that you understand exactly what we're talking about, because it does get a little confusing sometimes. Let's assume that you're an organization who's decided that you want to leverage the Windows Store infrastructure to provide a private store to your employees. The basic process that you would go through is to sign into the business software portal using an administrator's AAD account, acquire the apps that you're needing, that you want, which could either be free or purchased with a PO or invoice or credit card, and then indicate that these apps should be placed into the org store. The end user then, when they log into Windows, they would log in with an AD or an AAD account, doesn't matter which one. They would access the Windows Store. They would see the organizational store's category as well as any of the public store pieces that have been enabled. They select the apps that they want. They get installed. The licenses get acquired. All that good stuff just kind of works behind the scenes. So this is entirely cloud-based. There's no on-prem infrastructure required to do this. No MDM services required. All the apps that you install automatically get updated from the Windows Store. You can add your own line of business apps by uploading them into the store. All of this just works fine. The basic user interface, we sign in with an AAD account. Once we're signed in, we see basically a web version of the Windows Store showing us all of the applications that are available. We select the app that we want. Once we've selected the application, we can say how many copies we want. We can do the purchase of that application, putting in a purchase order information or credit card information. And once we've done that, we can check out, and the apps are now available in the inventory. At this point, we can assign these applications in one of two ways. We can explicitly assign the license to a user, in which case they would get an email message that says click here and the app will install. Or you could just change the slider on the right to say in the company store, yes. If you slide that over, the application then shows up for the user to install the next time they access the store. So that's the simplest of the scenarios. We think that makes perfect sense for the smaller, mid-sized organizations that don't want to have to set up System Center or Intune or anything like that. If you have an Intune environment or AirWatch or MobileIron or Citrix or something like that, if you're using mobile device management, it's a little different. It starts off the same. You would still sign in to the business software portal using an AAD account, acquire the apps the same way that you did before, but now you just go into the MDM service and link to the apps that are in the BSP, kind of like you do with deep linking today with Config Manager and Intune, if you're familiar with that. The main difference now is that when the end user logs in with an AD account or an AAD account, They launched the Enterprise App Store, the company portal in the case of Intune or Config Manager. They see the available apps, and when they select them, they're pushed down automatically. So no MSA account needs to be put in, no install button needs to be clicked. It all just happens. This works cloud-based or on-prem. Now, if we're talking Intune today, Intune is a cloud-based service, but the other MDM providers will provide an on-prem version of their MDM software, so you could do this on-prem. The apps would automatically get updated from the Windows Store because they're still being installed through normal mechanisms. The store will see them and say, oh, there's an update for this app, I'll push it out. You could also completely disable the Windows Store, so turn off the UI for the Windows Store via policy, and still allow the company portal to make the apps available to the client and have them pushed down from the Windows Store. So there's a definite separation between the Windows Store UI, which could be turned on and off, and the Windows Store service, which can be controlled using a mobile device management solution. When we talk about imaging, I mean, all of these scenarios are kind of common now, where we sign into the business software portal, we acquire the apps that we want. The change here is that we download the installation files. So we can get the AppX files. We can get the necessary files to install the apps into the OS. We save those locally, and then we add them into the enterprise image. We make those available then for any user who logs into the device. We then sysprep the image, capture the image, deploy it out to a machine. When the end user logs in with any account, really it doesn't matter which account they log into, the apps install automatically, and the license is acquired from the Windows Store. If we kind of step back and look at that traditional enterprise app store scenario where you want to do all of the content distribution, all the management yourself, applying workflows, applying approvals, we can start off in the same business software portal where we log in and acquire the apps, downloading the installation files, but then we just import those into Config Manager, setting them up as applications, which we can then push out to the users, or we can make them available through the company portal for the users to select them and install them themselves. Same experience that you would have today. Very simple, very similar scenario to what you're already doing. License management then assumes that we've already acquired apps, that they're already available in our portfolio. We can log into the business software portal and see all of the licenses that we've acquired. We can take it a step further and see who they've been assigned to or who requested them via the business software portal to be pushed down to the device. And we can revoke any of the licenses that have been acquired in that way. If you revoke a license, if the end user then logs into Windows and tries to launch that app, they would get an error saying that the license is no longer available for that application because it's been revoked. That's not an immediate thing. The devices don't check every time you launch the application. They only check every so often, so maybe it takes a day or so before they notice that the license has been revoked. But it will eventually take care of the license on the client machine so that the app will no longer launch. Basic experience on the portal side is you can see for a particular piece of software that you've acquired, here are all the users that licenses have been assigned to. Those could be assigned directly by specifying the AAD accounts that you wanted to make them available to, or they could just be made available through the Windows Store, through the private catalog that you can create. We can separate those two so that you can kind of see the filtered view of which ones were acquired in which way. But if you select a particular application, you just check it and then say to revoke the licenses by clicking on the button. So license management, fairly easy. If you were to try to do this on a much larger scale, maybe you're an organization that has hundreds of thousands of machines and is deploying hundreds of thousands of licenses, you may not want to scroll through hundreds of thousands of licenses like this. So all of this data gets exposed to mobile device management solutions through APIs so that they can do more management capabilities through this as well. So the key investments that we're making around this, are the business software portal itself to allow organizations to acquire apps, to manage the licenses, and to download the application files. They would also be able to upload their own apps into the mix. You can pay using additional methods. So we can do purchase orders, invoices. We can do billing through your existing enterprise agreement, which a lot of organizations already have in place, or other volume license programs. We can still do credit cards. We can still do PayPal. We can still do Alipay and a whole bunch of mobile operator billing options as well. You can create your own organizational store, which basically leverages the Windows Store infrastructure to allow you to create your fully curated list of apps. And the user then just logs in with their AAD account to see that list of apps, select the ones they want, and they get installed on the device. We'll fully expose manageability for all of that so that mobile device management solutions can use that, including Intune and others. We'll also provide support for agent-based solutions like Configuration Manager to do the same thing. So basically providing a bridge between the MDM capabilities and the more traditional agent-based approaches. We're also looking at mechanisms, which are still working out the details on, but we want to allow organizations to have more control over the application update process. Today, if an ISV submits an app update to the Windows Store, the Windows Store client running in the OS, as soon as it sees that update, will download it and install it. You can't stop that process. It happens when it happens, and you'll eventually see a notification saying that X number of apps were updated today. We're looking to provide some controls to basically allow you to approve those updates. So you could say in my organization, maybe I want to test that out on a machine. Maybe it's a more critical app that you've acquired through the Windows Store. You want to test it out before you allow that app to be deployed in your organization. So you can do that. We can provide those controls to make sure that the apps only get updated when you say they should be updated. So that's the quick run through. We've got a little bit of extra time, so if there are questions around any of this, find a microphone, and otherwise, hopefully you'll start testing all of this out. Most of what we've talked about here is still a work in progress. It'll be showing up in builds over the coming months, most of it probably early next year, as we get deeper into the development process for Windows 10. But hopefully that solves a lot of the challenges that we had introduced with the new features in Windows 8 and Windows 8.1, and provides new scenarios with mobile device management and these cloud-based scenarios, especially with Azure and AAD join machines, where you can start thinking about different ways to go about this. All right, any questions? If not, or if you just want to ask questions in private, come up front afterwards. But thanks for attending. Please fill out your evaluations.